Attention, please. Yeah, everybody, we're back here on the Dave Nash Show. Welcome, everybody. This is the intro.
What?
It's the intro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back right here on the Dave Nash Show. Here on a Friday morning, 6 a.m., everybody. Yeah, we're back again. You know the boys with them futo on another level. We're back again right here. Mr. Nash is having a cup of coffee this morning. Yeah. You know, that's why we're so pumped up. Yeah, we're back again with some illest tracks, you get what I'm saying? Hey. Something so cool, something that will get you energized, something that will get you on another level, everybody. So you know what to expect on a Friday night, on a Friday morning, you get what I'm saying? 2 hours of freshness, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Oh, man, that's the against the thing that we could ever deliver on a Friday, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. So everybody, stay tuned right here on the number one station. Welcome back. Hope you had a great and awesome week, because right here we're back again. Your boys DJ Dash and DJ Net,
yeah,
from the Dave and Net Show.
Yeah.
You're on the number one station.
Yeah.
The Active FM.
AM.
Yeah, you get it all in the AM, you get what I'm saying, everybody. We have 3 shows a day, you get what I'm saying, not only us,
because yeah,
we're broadcasting in the morning, yo.
Yeah,
we're pumping up your mornings, so somebody will also, we're giving you the breakfast.
Yeah.
And there's other people who give you the lunch.
Yeah.
And other people will give you the supper.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying? So you get it 3 times a day. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where Christ's music is hot music.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the awesome thing about the Active FM.
And we must add the dinner.
The dinner, huh?
Yes.
And some dessert right there.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, everybody, welcome back right here in another awesome week with your boys, DJ Dash and DJ Nev, right here on the number one station, the Active FM. Yeah. It's one of those things.
Yeah, one of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
No, he never had a cup of coffee, that's why.
I think we need one, huh?
Yeah, we need to give him. Yeah. Okay, yeah, we're gonna order one for him.
Hey, yo, producer.
Yeah, give me
one right there.
Uh-huh.
Just kidding, man.
yeah, we're back here on the Dave Nation. We love being with you guys, you know.
All the time.
Yeah.
We love being with you guys. So
yeah.
Don't ever think otherwise, because
yeah,
we feel you.
Yeah.
We feel you.
We feel you.
We love you.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whether you're from Australia.
Yes, he
feels
you.
Whether you're from Atlanta.
He feels
whether
you
from United States of America.
He
whether
feels
you're from
you.
Italy.
He
whether
feels
you're from
you.
Uruguay.
He feels
whether
you're
from Portugal.
He feels
whether
you.
You're from South Africa.
He feels
whether you're from wherever.
He
I don't know. We all lie here, everybody, from Germany,
yeah, yeah,
from everywhere. You get what I'm saying? Ukraine, Nigeria. You know what I'm saying, everybody? We love you. So we would like to say thank you for your support, everybody. We feel you. You know what I'm saying? We feel you.
He feels you.
Yeah, we feel you.
He feels you.
Yeah, we feel you.
Me, I don't touch you.
We feel you. But anyway, everybody, you know how we roll each and every single Friday right here on the number one station, the Active FM, with your boys DJ Dash and DJ Nev right here. We deliver the best, we deliver the cool stuff, you get what I'm saying? Where Christ music is hot music. We give you worship, we give you rap, we give you all those kind of things.
Woo-hoo.
But before we kick off with the main topic, with why we are here this morning, with what we're gonna be delivering for you this morning, we would like to just do something special, you get what I'm saying?
Yep.
Something that will get you energized. I'm sure everybody's up on their feet right now, and if you're in a car right now, you shouldn't be standing up. Why? Because you're gonna cause an accident right there. So you gotta keep calm and just be excited inside your heart. So what we're gonna be talking about right now, we're not gonna actually unveil it right now.
Yep.
So I just wanted to give you some high hopes right there. But anyway, what we're going to do right now, we're going to give you something that will get you energized. You get what I'm saying? So we're going to give you some track.
Yeah.
Some track.
Yes,
music. So we're going to put you on a track.
Yeah.
To run the race.
Yes.
In order for you to get to your destination.
Hey.
So right now, what we're going to do before we do that, actually. So we're going to give you some music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give music. Enjoy the song.
Hey.
Yeah. Enjoy the music, everybody.
It's not always that I am here. It's not every day. So I consider this an answered prayer from God to be able to talk to somebody like you. So I want you to know that just being with you is already an encouragement. You are a Muslim before.
Yeah.
And I would like to know how you became a Christian.
When I was in fourth grade, I saw on television a film about Jesus. I watched it from beginning to end. That time, I was learning from a Quran teacher. I asked her why Jesus was crucified and if he really could forgive sins at all. She told me, "If you ask me these things again, I will punish you." Then I asked an imam about the same things, but he said that the Bible has been corrupted and the Quran was the right one and should be followed. He warned me, "If you follow the Bible, you will not go to heaven and you will not be a Muslim." After that, I tried to be faithful with my Muslim prayers and believe everything that Imam told me. But when I was in sixth grade, I saw on television the same film about Jesus. This time, I wanted to know more. The opportunity came when I went to Dhaka a year later, and I was admitted in seventh grade. I was staying in my uncle's house, and there I saw a Bible. I read it from the beginning to end, but I didn't understand it immediately. So I looked for ways to know the Bible more. That time I met a lady from another city and she took me to prayer meetings. Met another believer there, a guy named Ashraf. He told me to attend the women's gathering. He said, "You can ask them anything you want to know." I had many questions to the women, but the most important for me then was, how can Jesus forgive me? One of the ladies gave me a verse from the Bible. She said that those who were weary and tired could come to Jesus Christ, and he will give them rest. She gave me a copy of the Kitab al-Muqaddas. I read it for 1 year. I was in eighth grade when I decided to be baptized. I always attended the church every Sunday. 2 years later, when I was in 10th grade, I got married to Rashid, an evangelist. But now he's working as a technician in an electronics shop. I also got the opportunity to study theology for 6 months. That course helped me a lot to know more about Jesus, that he loves me and has forgiven me. I thought, now that I know about Jesus, how can I talk about him to other people? I sought the help of the leader in my church. Besides helping my husband in his work, I was helping the women and children of the Bihari people. A year later, I moved with my husband to Dhaka and started the literacy class. When I saw people here deprived of the opportunity to go to school, I started thinking of way of bringing the school to them. I started talking to the people in the village. I asked the adults if they were willing to attend classes on reading and writing. I try to get their available schedules and started holding Thursdays and Friday classes for 3 hours each. The class I started last January had some problems. A Muslim imam came to the class one time, and when he saw the materials I was using, which had some biblical content, he began telling the people not to come to the classes. He said that I was trying to convince them to become Christians. But the people continued coming to my classes, so the imam changed his strategy. He began pressuring the husbands of the students. They, in turn, asked me to leave the area, so I could not continue the class. The course was supposed to be for 6 months, but it was short of 15 days worth of lessons. The people, however, said that I did not have to come to the area anymore because they were able to read and write. For 8 years, I was involved in the women's and children's ministry in the slum area. My parents told me that I have betrayed my nation and joined another when I became a Christian. I have my share of filthy words for being a follower of Christ. I have been pressured to go back to Islam many times. During those times, I felt frustrated. I will cry, but then I will also pray and read the Bible. This helped me keep my faith.
What about for you and your family? What would you like them to pray for you?
Please pray for the Christian workers in Bangladesh who are reaching out to Muslims so they can do this work more. My husband and I have shared the gospel to a few people in my village. We stay with them, worship with them, pray for them. For you who are persecuted, I want to tell you to keep the faith and rely only on God's word in whatever problem you face because of the faith.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
How you feel about seeing babies on the street with the heat? Who eats when it's beef and it's cold out? North Coast, no clothes when it goes down in the city. In the city ain't a bit of pretty. Coppers missing robbers just to get a penny. Justice system sicker than the intervention given to individuals with limited images, with intimate visuals of the most high. Most die in this jungle, watch them crows slide. I grow tired in the summer when the bones rise. The chrome cried in the stomach when the soul died. How many murders in an hour? Probably 4 or 5. Only time they got power when they hold nines. It only took 3 days for the one to rise. I know they tired of walking crooked cause they looking blind. They want power, they'll find it when they put it down. It's up in heaven, they must sever in the days cause they weaker than they realize. Tell them life ain't hours, don't waste time trying to find life in everything that's finna die. Don't let them lie to them. Give them evidence of heaven when you ride through them. We gotta tell them it's something better in heaven and better than everything ever since ever been evident, excellent, and it's God.
That overcame. I was numb to the shots from that gun. I was living so insane. Oh, I'm so ashamed. But I'm done living life on the run forever. The moment you realize that this is realer than it seems, wish you could open your eyes and realize it's all a dream. I wanna wake up, I wanna wake up from this nightmare. I wanna wake up, but I'm right here. When I wake up, when I wake up.
Yeah, in the city of death, looking for the tree of life in the pair 23 nights. Blessed that I'm looking forward in the first place. Could be a different scenario, the worst case. Take an aerial shot of my block, see the Glock of an officer pop a kid. That's how it is in the ghetto metropolis. Way before the introduction of stop and frisk, it was killer, hopeless, a dream deferred. Fiend drop a dope dish in a needle by the curb. Heroin is a heroin, a deliverer, a savior, a medicine. For some, cold night, cold pipe full of hot fire. Praying to the dope guy, they don't even know God. How many killings in in the night, Jackie 4-5. I took 3 shots, that was back in 9-5. Nowadays, they'll kill for a G-shot. Trigger click, boom bang, sounding like a beatbox. Thank God for God, though. Take a hoodlum and turn him to an Picasso. Turn a simple brush over to a Picasso. Turn the death of his only son into the gospel. That's deep. That should let you know that true love is not cheap. I oppose what false prophets preach in the street.
I overcame that Novocaine. I was numb to the shots from that gun. I was living so insane. Oh, I'm so ashamed. But I'm done living life for the run forever. The moment you realize that this is realer than it seems, wish you could open your eyes and realize it's all a dream. I wanna wake up. I wanna wake up when it's nightmare. I wanna wake up, but I'm right here. When I wake up, when I wake up, ooh.
I hear the blood of Abel screaming from the streets when it speaks. We don't hear it, but we fear it from his own mouth. Bullets ripping through a whip just to listen in the hits. The heart with tents was darker than the car park with kids. I wonder if the heart was skin. Bullet looking for darker sin. Who's the target then? It's all lovers who Paul parents. We all lovers. We all jealous and Paul tell us. We all zealous for death. Right, you roulette. Click, click. Who's next? Is it you? Did a witch put a hex on the youth? Kaleidoscope trigger seeing colors when they shoot. Put the text in their chest, red letters in their roof. Look up, sign language to the deaf. And there's proof that the hand take a man when the dark and rebuke. Feet of the beast in the belly of the streets. Trying to eat, but the priest shed his blood for the food.
I overcame that Novocaine. I was numb to the shots from that gun. I was living so insane. Oh, I'm so ashamed. But I'm done living life on the run forever. The moment you realize that this is realer than it seems, wish you could open your eyes and realize it's all a dream. I wanna wake up. I wanna wake up from this nightmare. I wanna wake up, but I'm right here. When I wake up, when I wake up,
by your timeline of blind vultures, blind rhyme, static fabric of the timed culture. Soaked in Satan's lies, find another kind of lotion. Cloaked in a disguise, sign the dotted line, it's over. I told them, find another ride, cause this roller coaster's stolen. Going to a fate you won't believe, hocus pocus. Throwing dreams in the face of Z's, till he woken. Growing them seeds, that's all the seeds of heaven's roses. Rose and risen, he did it. Death to slaughter, the daughters bartering souls for attention. All to be heard, if the only audible wrote. But listen, itching for words, lot of research going towards a hole in they dick it. Gotta be words, flowing for him, for sake of the mission. I want nobody, nothing, them bluffing busters I finished. This pinning, pitching, and mentions with sinners don't wanna deal with. Filled with the vision of slaves lynching for tinted pigment. See the bus get in the back and act like it's proven that academics who actually lacking the black communion. Schools are lacking the facts, lacking the staff. They foolish, suppressing, rapping the masses. The masses grabbing their nooses, bad for habits. For lacking their happy daddy influence. They rather to tuck in the clap at the back of children. They actions backward, they backward to the backward task of Judas. Laughter is the reaction when I ask if they master Jewish. Laughter is the reaction, ask if they master Jewish. Go backwards a little faster, pass the actions of Judas. Go forward a little more, less of the master. So true when they grasp on the master truth that surpasses the attitude that Adam passed up pursuit when it was past the actual fruit. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. Go grab a flute, sex playing the soundtrack of demons singing the blues. Holiday with Molly, the same as came with a different hue. A dope up with generation, now Ali kind of rebuke. The violent is silent, the pilot tries to remind you. You only one thing is true, honey, what you gon' do? Money is at the root when they come looking for you.
Yeah, everybody, welcome back.
Yeah.
I know
we're
you
back.
Love that song. You love that song. That was awesome, everybody. I know that you enjoyed our damn music because it got you on your feet. Even those who were driving, yeah, they wanted to get up. By the way, shouldn't be doing that.
They were getting up, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, that will make you park. You know, that kind of song will actually make you park aside and then you stand up. You know what you're gonna do? Right? Boo, boo, boo. You start doing all those. Hey. But anyway, guys, welcome back. Welcome back to the number one station, the Active FM, where we deliver, where Christ music is hot music, where Christ music is the flaming, blazing music right here in Mzansi and internationally, and wherever you are right now listening to the Active FM, just know that we got love for you. Love for you. We love you. All everybody. Because right here, you get what I'm saying? What's happening?
Yeah.
We got love for everybody.
We got love for everybody.
We got love for you.
For you.
For you. And you, for me. You and you.
And you.
Yeah. So, Mr. Nash, let's just unveil this thing that actually brought us, that actually woke us up so early in the morning to actually come into the studio so energized. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What are we talking about, Mr. Nash?
Okay, so before I even unveil it, you see, we gotta understand what we're talking about.
People don't hear what you're saying because you're being so squeaky. I don't know what he's trying to do. He's trying to imitate the Alvin and the Chipmunks. I don't know.
You must know.
No, you must know.
Yes, now we all know.
Now we all know. Everybody.
Yes, I'm going to call my father.
I didn't say anything. He said it. So, Mr. Nash, just introduce to the audience what we're going to be talking about right now.
My father.
Your father?
Yes. My father in heaven.
Nah. So, everybody, what you're going to be talking about right now, we're going to be talking about fatherhood.
Yes.
Fatherhood.
Fatherhood.
So, in fatherhood, one of the... Okay, the definitions of being of fatherhood is the state of being a father.
Yeah.
Simple as that. The state of being a father. The qualities of a father. Fatherhood. Those are the kind of things that we can actually characterize fatherhood as. So one of the definitions, which is the state of being a father, that's what fatherhood is. So we're going to be talking about fatherhood and how fatherhood, the absenteeism of fathers, how it affects the youth today, how it affects decisions that the modern day generation takes. Because right now we need to understand that the absenteeism of fathers can actually have a huge impact in the youth today, because it has caused a lot of conflicts in the lives of many young people. It has caused a lot of regrets and a lot of emotional instability to a lot of young people, who their careers have been actually smashed. Why? Because there's a lack of fathers. So, Mr. Nash, don't you want to dish up something for people to actually understand the term of fatherhood?
Okay, so like basically, like Mr. Dave said, okay, so like you said, you see, fatherhood, the state of being a father. Like, what we have to understand is when you're a father, you have responsibilities.
Yeah.
No, you cannot be. That's something that we actually lack. Now, it's not only in South Africa where that happens. I believe all over the world. So basically, I'll say the whole world, they lack a lot of, you know, like in one of the area, which is fatherhood, there's a lot of fathers there. Like character, you know, where they think that they old enough to be fathers or matured enough to be fathers, but only to realize that they are not ready for that title, you know. They are not ready for the position as a father. And the state of being a father obviously comes with responsibilities of being a father, because now you got to take care of the child, you know. The child now looks up to you. The child looks up to you. And if we look at in our society, there's a lot of fathers that are missing.
Yeah.
You know, we lacking fathers. And as a result, not only lacking fathers as they are not there, also lacking fathers as in they are not fulfilling their purpose as a father. You know, they're not meeting their standard as a father. And as a result, that affects the community, you know. And being a father doesn't just mean that it's going in the room and then making a baby. Mm-hmm. No. It's not just, you go in the room, make a baby, and then, your father and all the stuff, and then, bam, that's the greatest father you ever had. No, obviously there's responsibilities. You have to be there for their child.
Yeah.
Now with being a father, there's now sacrifices that have to be done. And most of the people, they don't love doing that. And that's because they thought that they were ready to be a father. Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to sacrifice for your child.
Mm-hmm.
Going to have to do all those type of things where you want something, but you sacrifice what you want for your child so that your child can actually have a better future.
Yeah.
And yeah, being a father, the state of a father.
Which is awesome. You know, the other thing that actually contributes to the lack of fathers in our society, it is actually the commitment. There is no commitment in marriages. There is no commitment. So this is extraordinary. This extraordinary national lack of commitment to formal marriages will be bad. And also not too bad if stable and permanent alternative relationships were the order of the day. Because now, when the parents are not committed to one another, then therefore, there's a 50% chance that marriage won't last.
Yeah.
And that won't only affect the two partners, which is the father and the mother, but will mainly affect the child.
Yeah.
Because now, as fathers, not that I'm a father though right now, but I'm a father of nations, as the word of God says. look, as fathers, you need to take responsibility. You need to take care of your family. You need to be the hero of your family. So now, therefore, you need to develop that commitment in your family. You need to actually cultivate that there is unity in your family. Because now, if there is no commitment, now therefore, there's that loose part in your relationship with the mother of the child. So now, as the father, there's a loose connection with the mother. Now that loose connection actually drops down the level of encouragement and motivation to be a greater father or a greater mother to that child. You get what I'm saying? So they will grow up, the kids will actually grow up with the mentality of like, you know what, my father wasn't any better. Why should I? My mother, now my father, because my father left, so therefore, what if now I get involved with the guy, then he will also leave me. That's what girls now, because mainly girls are the ones that are impacted or affected by this lack of fatherhood, which is caused by the lack of commitment in marriages. Because now, if we can have men and women actually committed to one another, we wouldn't have to face all these predicaments that we're coming across of lack of fathers.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So when, as a father, and you are listening right now, you need to take care of what you have planted, because you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
So now, if you reap to actually have, if you sow that baby, you gotta take care of that baby, because now you cannot sow and expect not to reap what you have sown. Because now you need to take care of that child that you have actually produced right now. You have to take, there's, fatherhood comes with responsibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is true. And just to add on, you know, society, you know, has a wrong image of fatherhood, you know, of being a father, or let me say the look of a father. You know, as I was doing research and all the stuff, like the stats, they bad, if I can put it that way. They like bad in terms of how high they are, you know, in terms of lack of fathers and all those things. They actually bad, you know, if you have to look at the society and what's happening in your environment and your community in terms of lack of fathers. And that's like disappointing. It's like, okay, I know I'm gonna become a father one day. And yeah, this is why we need to be aware of this thing, so that you can know how to be a parent.
Yeah.
You know, how to have that parenting role, you know, how to fulfill them. And then, yeah, as I was going through online, I actually ran across an article. And it was an article by Sarah Carter. And this is what it said. You know, I actually printed it out, you know, so I can actually read it. And this is what it said. She wrote. She's like, okay. It's a story of, obviously, her and her husband. Like, in late 1999, my wife, Jen, and I learned that we were expecting our first child. The news came at a hectic time in my career. And I suppose I didn't truly weigh in significance. I certainly didn't feel like a father yet. See there? It felt abstract and theoretical. Several months later, things became more real. Jean's been in labor for 27 hours. The baby's vitals don't look good. The doctors prepared for a C-section. I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on there, you know. Yeah, those are like doctors, you know, if you're a father and you're a doctor, you know what, yeah, we're talking about. C-section, as it says. But they give Jean just one last chance. Basically, yeah, to push the baby out. And on that last effort, she pushes, train out in the world. The nurses bring him to us, all swelled and clean. While Jean sleeps, I take train and sit with him. Okay, that's the baby of, yeah, the name of the baby. Trent. And sit with him in the rocking chair throughout the first night. I'm a dad, I say to myself. And it seems that the realities of fatherhood hit me for the first time. And it scares me. Growing up, I never had a reliable dad to learn from. My heart aches at the thought of not having a dad in all the moments I needed one. As I rock Trent, I pray and I whisper to him, I hope I can be a good father to you. The father I never had. That's his story, man. It's his story.
That's an interesting story right there. Why? Because, you know, as I was listening right now, what I understand from this guy is that, you know, he's becoming a father that he never had.
Yeah.
He's becoming a mentor that he never had. He's becoming that responsible young man that he never got any encouragement from his own father.
Mm.
So now he's growing from his life experience to become a better father. That's an awesome story right there.
Yeah, man.
And when you look at, again, the stats, as I was also searching on the internet, is that in just 3 decades, from 1960 to 1990, the number of children living apart from their biological fathers nearly doubled.
Yeah, see.
By the turn of the century, yeah, almost 50% of North American children may be going to sleep each evening without being able to say goodnight to their fathers.
Yeah. Okay, this, yes.
Almost 50% of children who are not able to actually say goodnight, daddy.
Mm.
Why? Because the fathers are not taking responsibility. Why? Because the fathers are actually planting a seed that they are not going to reap. They are actually sowing something that they're going to run away from without harvesting it.
Mm.
You know, it's actually a painful thing to actually live a life without a father. That's one of my experiences. I grew up without a father, but I learned to become a father one day that my father would have been to me, since, yeah, I never got that chance to have a father. So I'm actually inspired when I look at other fathers, the way they live their life. Some of them actually are good fathers, but some of them actually are running away from their responsibilities, which is not a good thing, which is where the lack of commitment comes in.
Yeah.
When there is no commitment, then how do you expect your child to grow up to be that person who's committed? Because now you gotta set the rules. You gotta set the example before them.
We are talking about fathers who have never made the commitment of marriage or even of sticking around.
Yeah.
There are fathers that never made a commitment in their marriage. They just say the vows just for the sake of getting through and done with the situation.
Mm.
But that actually leaves children with a broken heart. That leaves kids with broken families, with a broken future.
Mm.
Especially girls. Especially girls, they are actually emotionally ripped apart. Their future is ripped apart because now they cannot find love from their fathers because now the father is absent. So therefore, they cannot receive that love from the father. So now they go and look for it somewhere else.
Yeah.
From boyfriends. Which will lead to teenage pregnancy. Why? Because the fathers are not playing the role that they are supposed to be playing.
Mm.
Which has led to a number or a large percentage of kids, of children, waking up or going to bed without saying good morning daddy or good night daddy.
Yeah.
That has affected a lot of young people, and that has actually demotivated them from dreaming further. Girls have been discouraged from having men in their lives, from getting married. Why? Because of how the fathers represent the young men, the upcoming generation.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. That's very true. Like, and like I said, you know, it's a worldly thing at the beginning. Like, it's a worldly, it's a worldwide, if I can put it that way. It's a worldwide, so it's a problem that we have around the globe. I mean, look at the states. That was just North America. Now imagine the rest of the countries, you know, like the other parts of the countries. And you know, like there's this book that was written by Kent Nerbin, and it's titled, "It is much easier to become a father than to be one."
Mm.
And it's actually true, you know, it is much easier to become a father than to be one. Because it's easy to make a baby.
Mm.
It's easy to plant.
Yeah.
But it's hard to be the one who's going to be there too. To harvest and
cultivate.
Yeah. Yeah. So think about that. Think about those words.
Yeah, man. So right here, if you're a father and you're listening to this, you gotta be actually vigilant and actually evaluate yourself. What kind of a father are you? Are you a father who's taking up on his responsibilities? Or are you a father that's going to plant a seed and not harvest it? Or are you going to be a father that's not going to cultivate the seed that he has sown? You need to cultivate it until it grows to be somebody in life. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to cultivate that seed that you have sown. In other words, you got to take care of that baby that you have produced. You got to actually take care of that baby. They should see you as an example. They should see you as their hero. Because now it actually deprives them from having successful relationships due to the fact that fathers are not taking up on their responsibilities. They're running away of fathers. Well, this one is understandable of like the deceased father. Well, if your father is passed on, then that one is understandable, but at least he played a role in your life.
Yeah.
Than a father who runs away from his responsibilities.
Yeah.
Because there are so many kids that have been received the father's love, which is what they need the most. So everybody, before we carry on, you get what I'm saying? We've been cooking right here. So we thank you and much appreciate the fact that you are listening to these shows and we are still tuned in right here. Don't go away. Don't go away, everybody, because we are back with some more. Right now, we're just going to give you something that will get you awakened.
40 years ago, you would rarely see Muslims on the streets of Sydney or Melbourne. Only about 20,000 lived in Australia at the time. But that has changed in the years since, as Muslims from neighboring Indonesia and the Middle East have sought refuge and opportunity down under.
There may be as many as 500,000 Muslims now residing in Australia. When many immigrate here, they'll settle into neighborhoods that are exclusively Islamic. They have little chance or opportunity to hear the gospel. But that's starting to change.
What changes have you seen?
El Hayat Television, also known as Life TV, is an Arabic television channel broadcasting Christian programming in Australia and other parts of the Muslim world. It was launched in Australia by this man, former Muslim Michael El Masri. He started the channel with his own limited finances and persevered despite fierce opposition from the Islamic community. El Masri told CBN News, El Hayat TV Australia airs Christian programs in a way that Muslims understand.
It's so important for Muslims that we expose his religion. We love him as a man. We love her as a woman. And they are beautiful people, but they are deceived. Yeah, I had many threats.
But you're not afraid anymore. You're moving.
No, because the Lord protects. I believe in a special mission like that, the Lord will provide extra protection. He died for them. They deserve the message of salvation. Who's going to give them the message?
And Australian Muslims aren't only hearing the good news on the television airwaves. Former Muslims attend Christian worship in Arabic at this church in Sydney. Ali Bazi has pastored here for nearly 2 years. The church is called Al Abur, which in Arabic means crossover. Most members are Muslims who crossed over or converted to Christianity. Some come here secretly because they fear being discovered by Muslim family members. Several attendees have received death threats for leaving Islam.
Because the religion from the Quran encourage you to harm people. Those backslider, or we call it in English apostasies, they are doing something good to the Lord if I kill you, to Allah.
Pastor Bazi admits he's received many death threats since becoming a Christian, but he says he won't stop proclaiming the gospel. Bazi spent his youthful years as a radical Muslim in Lebanon. A Muslim friend who converted to Christianity introduced him to the Bible and Jesus.
I like the personality of Jesus Christ. The way he's present him from the Bible, how he used to share with people, heal them, feed them. I said, Mom, I'm a new man. And she said, if there's a God able to change Ali, I want to believe in him. All my family became a Christian except my dad.
They are now serving in the Australian church. His brother is an active leader and his sister leads worship. Helena, a former Muslim from Egypt, migrated to Australia after converting and accepting Christ. She explains why she left her country.
National security police coming to my house to take me away. They could kill me, they could torture me, they could torture my sister, they could do terrible things.
She also experienced the rejection of a loved one and societal condemnation.
I felt like I lost my identity. I don't know who I am anymore.
Helena says she was strengthened by a scripture verse that lifted her spirits.
It's come to me who you are, weary and heavy burden, and I'll give you a rest. The only way God can reveal to me, or I can receive even his peace and joy, is only through Jesus.
Former Muslim Alia came to know Christ after she married a Christian. Her parents initially didn't want her to marry outside the faith. They changed their minds after Alia was healed of lymphoma because of the prayers of Christians.
I was cured from cancer, and God actually made my parents change their mind so that I could marry my husband and I could live the Christian life that I wanted to live.
And despite ongoing pressure from Australia's Islamic community, these former Muslims continue to share their testimonies with Muslim immigrants and others. And if you turn on your television here, you're likely to see Al Hayat TV beaming its way over the airwaves and into Aussie living rooms. These former Muslims say God's word will continue to penetrate hearts everywhere, and especially down under. Gary Lane, CBN News, Sydney.
When it's apparent that you have failed as a parent, too busy trying to pay rent. Homie, now what? Long gone are the days. You ain't taking your little big head to ASO scrimmages no more. No football practice, little league movie nights, no. You driving to his cute little puppy love girlfriend's doctor's appointment. She got a date with the sonogram. Your boy is officially a statistic, now what? Your little man, he barely sprouting peach fuzz. He wanna be just like you. He writes poetry. He feel kin to Buffalo Soldiers. You chuckle, we live in the suburbs. I work too hard for you to not struggle. You don't know know what you talking about. You soon find that socioeconomic status does nothing for his skin color. To them, he's just a well-dressed coon whose parents got lucky. He's the butt of subliminal jokes, like his friends refer to rap as jungle jive. They see him and go, yo, homie, yo, that's how y'all talk, right? He's checked out, he's found other outlets. His good grades don't fix his depraved brain. He believes the gospel of young money, YOLO. Yo, and as your mama drops you off at the mall, remember as you scope out them dunks, and every bite you take of that number one animal style is a bite you stole from your daughter's tummy. Them dunks is about a month worth of diapers and food you finna put on your feet. Homie, this is your fault, your job, your responsibility. Don't get mad when mama don't give you 20 bucks. It's your turn. I don't know what to tell you, and I ain't got an answer. Man, I ain't got an answer. Oh no, it's apparent that you have failed as a parent, homie. I ain't got an answer. Man, I ain't got an answer. Homie, I ain't got an answer. Oh no.
It's apparent. Sometimes I think I failed as a parent.
Yeah.
And my son having autism is rough. But maybe he don't speak because words don't say much. Maybe he don't need words to communicate his love. And sometimes the silence, it causes me to stumble. It's possible he's a version of me that's more humble. And I think my child finds more joy in playing with my phone, playing on his own. Will he shed a tear when I'm gone? I'm wrestling with the shame of an outsider's view of me. His life is a spotlight on my own insecurities. But I know his laugh, it lights up a thousand rooms. And when he speaks to me, it's just like a flower blooms. This has just become my own digital diary. I'm at the doctor's office just hoping they would lie to me. Please, my son will be alright. But if he's not, my son will be alright, cause he is God's. Autism, sickle cell, or Down syndrome, still keeping the faith in the midst of hard living. We stand together cause we have no other place to go. My son and I will live and fight, even though I ain't got an answer.
I ain't got an answer. Homie, I ain't got an answer. Man, I ain't got an answer. I don't know when it's apparent that you have failed as a parent. Homie, I ain't got an answer. Man, I ain't got an answer. Homie, I ain't got an answer. I don't know when it's apparent that you have failed as a parent. You canceling quinceañeras, little mama finna be one. Scroll through your brain's iPhone and unopened emails. How many daughter's hugs did I not reply to? You ain't lying to me, I know the song you singing. That promise ring was real cute, but it's really for the parents. She ain't saving it for marriage and never had plans to. She in a fetal position now, carrying a fetus. Your worldview officially has left the philosophical and is laying in your living room considering abortion. Them 8th grade boys is texting naked pictures of your daughter to each other. Now what? Now what? And baby girl, them is your panties as his Facebook picture. Now what? This is your fault and I ain't got an answer. Dad sitting and soaking and stewing it. You failed. Better get it together, boy. She needs you more than ever. And I ain't got an answer. It's like that moment when you realize the pinnacle of modern psychology has failed you. At the end of modern psychology, homie, all that junk, it fails. And your little girl, your little boy, he ain't the person you trained him to be. Look, I don't know. Man, I don't know. I don't know the answer. So you know.
Nah, homie, I ain't got an answer.
Homie, all that stuff, look, we gotta get our heads out the sand, homie. Life is happening with our children. Look, and I'm not the answer. This album, this song, these records, they ain't your answer. I don't know the answer, but I know who got the answer. Hey, let's all point to the Savior together, boy. Look, I ain't perfect, neither is you. But let's look to the man that knows it. I'll walk with you, boy, I promise you. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. Let's raise our kids, boy. We didn't have too many models out there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
what up,
yeah.
Everybody, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. We are back right here.
Back.
On number one station.
Hey.
Active a fan.
With Christ, music is hard music.
Yeah. Oh, we are back again.
With right another.
Another session.
Another one. You're gonna love it. Yeah.
Yeah. We talking about fatherhood. What kind of father are you? Ooh,
ooh. Hey. Fatherhood.
Hey.
Kind of father are you?
Yeah, we're back again right here on the number one station. You know how we rock right here.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
We do the exclusive music right here on the platform live. Performed live. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Perform music live in the studio.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Studio.
Man. Yeah, man. Yeah. To those who just tuned in right now, we're speaking about fatherhood. So that's why I'm asking a question right now. What kind of a father are you? You know what I'm saying? That you can go on Facebook and on Twitter at ActiveFM777 and actually add your comment right there. Actually, hashtag I am a father. Hashtag I am a father. Or hashtag fatherhood. What kind of a father are you? That's the question that we're posing out there. So everybody out there, stay tuned right here as we are about to deliver some more on fatherhood and the states that have been collected to actually dish out there the data that we have collected based on what kind of fathers are actually in the world. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What is the role of a father? How the absenteeism of fathers actually affects the young people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I'd love to start, man. You don't love to start, man. Yeah, you know, I just want to point the topic there, you know, like just pick up something which is a fact. You know, as a father, you have been chosen to be, you have been chosen to the title, which is father. So you became a father and now you are part of the family of fatherhood, you know, the fathers. And as a result, you're actually supposed to, you know, live up to that. That's the way I feel. I feel like you're supposed to live up to that standard where as a father, you're supposed to be a provider and a protector. Now, because of those two descriptions right there, provider, protector, that doesn't mean that because you're a provider and protector, you're always outside the home. It doesn't mean that you're not also one of the caregivers. Doesn't mean I'm always outside, so I'm gonna be focused on everything outside, getting things into the house and neglect everyone in the house. And you know, that's actually what we actually see in our time, in the 21st century, even in the 20th century, it was there, even in the 1998, you know. All the centuries that we've basically been in, it's been evident, you know, it's been evident that there's a lack of parental care in terms of fatherhood. So you get fathers who actually leave mothers. So here you are, you become a father, and then guess what? You're like, okay, fatherhood is like too much of a responsibility for me. What do you decide to do? You decide to leave the mother, and then she now has to take on your role of being the provider and protector. But when she was, if you're there, she doesn't need to live up to that thing. And that actually doesn't only affect the mother, but it also affects the child. You know, like, okay, I mean, look at it. Look at it from this point of view. Like, put yourself in that kid's shoe. When they say, we want to see your father tomorrow for parents' evening, we only want to speak to fathers. How is that child going to feel? Here's a friend saying that my father will be here. Maybe they say you must be here by 7. Now she or he has a friend that is so confident that say the response is my father will be 30 minutes earlier than that. And then knowing that there's no father in the household, how is that person going to feel? How is their child gonna feel? Feel rejected because the father is not there. You know, take on that punishment to say, or take on the blame to say the father's not there because of me. I mean, you get information that go out there that are like crazy. They say, okay, the only reason why your father's not there is because you were born, you know. You get information like that, and that can happen, you know, like that the child can actually get exposed to such information. And that, as a result of you not being there as a father, you know, taking on the responsibility of being a father, it actually impacts the child's life. And not only the child, also the mother. I mean, imagine if your child has to come to you and your mother, and then the child asks you, where's my father? How will you respond to that question? You'll feel like embarrassed, you'll feel unloved, you'll feel, I don't know, I'm not a woman.
Actually, mothers fear to actually say your father has been absent from your life. Why? Because yeah. they're trying to protect the child.
Yeah.
Not realizing that by keeping it inside actually builds up more anger in the child's heart.
Yeah.
It holds them back. Because right now, due to the information that we collected, is that the children of divorced and never married mothers are less successful by almost every measure. By almost every measure than the children of widowed mothers. And there is reason to believe that having an unmarried father is even worse for a child than having a divorced father. Because now they are living with the fact that they know that, okay, now I was born into a wedlock whereby my father and my mother was I was born outside the wedlock whereby my father and my mother were not married, so therefore my life will that of which will not be successful. I will not be successful in life, because that's what they carry around their minds, that if my father and my mother are not actually together, or I was born outside the fact that my mother and my father were not married, so therefore I will not be successful. So that actually eats them inside. But when it comes to divorce, maybe the parents might actually sit down with the child and actually say, you know what, this is the reason why we are divorcing. But that we are not encouraging divorcing, because now the child is deprived with the right of actually living with both parents. Now the child is put into a situation whereby they have to choose whether they want to live with the father or to live with the mother. And now looking also at the statistical analysis of the US data are showing that children from a fatherless home are 20 times more likely to end up in prison. So children from fatherless homes are 20 times more likely to end up in prison due to the fact that now, because they are not receiving the love at home, they are actually going out there to get something that will satisfy them. That now they are not being mentored enough to become men. So now they think that, you know what, robbing a store will actually make it's a way of making easy cash. You get what I'm saying? So not realizing that it will get them into prison. So 20 times more likely to end up in prisons. Those are the children who are from fatherless homes.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's like amazing stuff. And yo, it's true. It's mind-blowing stuff, if I can put it that way. It shocks you at the same time, because it's the reality. It's actually the world we live in. And that's why we need to have a father's love. Need to have a father's love. I mean, like, in my life, yeah. And you know, there's one father that never fails, you know.
Yeah.
Shows that love, comes in, takes responsibility, you know.
Yeah.
And that's our heavenly father.
Yeah.
Never fails. His love never fails.
Sure.
You know, that's like a role model right there. Mm. I mean, Jesus portrayed the role model. Came down and showed us. You know, he showed us the meaning of fatherhood. And you know, yeah, just for the people out there, you know, fatherhood is about engaging with your kids, talking and playing with them, holding them when they need to be held. It's about always aiming to be present, not fleeing in a man cave, you know, you're running or you're trying to escape, escaping. And you know, you get those ones that escape. And guess where do they escape to? They escape to work. They run away to their job. It's not about doing that. Those diversions are short, flighty things compared to your relationship with your kids. I mean, like, yeah, this statement right here, basically what it's saying is, it's saying that fatherhood is not about running away from your kids. You know, the best thing that you can ever do as a father is show your love to your kids. Yeah. And then the rest of the things will just come along.
Yeah.
The rest of the things will fall into place. Why? Because your kids see that you love them.
Yeah.
That love is actually the key to everything, if I can put it that way.
Yeah.
Love is the key to everything, because there's a lot of people that are looking for love in the wrong places.
Yeah.
Same with that kid who doesn't have a father, which is a female. You know, that female, that daughter that doesn't have a father, why does she go look for a boyfriend? Because she has never experienced the love of a father. And so by going to look for a boyfriend, she has the expectation of, I will receive a father love from him. Mm. You know?
Yeah. Which is true, man. And also when you look at it, the children from a fatherless home are 32 times more likely to run away from homes.
Yeah.
Why? Because now they don't feel the need of being at home due to the fact that there's no father. Like, come on, who's gonna teach me how to be a man? If it's a guy situation, who's gonna protect me if it's a girl situation? Because now girls also need fathers. They need to be given orders and instructions. They need to actually hear from a man. They need to hear the voice of a man. They need to feel the power and the love of a man. You get what I'm saying? Because that is why we need to actually take responsibilities as fathers and not run away from the responsibilities that we've taken action to. Because now every action, that's what we need to understand. Even right now, youth, you need to understand that. You get what I'm saying? You need to understand that being a father comes with a price. Becoming a father comes with a price. Because now you gotta pay for the fact that you became a father.
Mm.
Now you're asking yourself, what? I should pay for becoming a father? What kind? Like, look, you have to take care of those kids. They need you. So therefore, you gotta become a father that is gonna actually, that's gonna be there to provide, be there to care, be there to guide, to be there to fix that toy that your child is broken. Because the world is falling apart because there's no love. The world is falling apart because there's no love. That is why fathers are needed. That is why fathers are actually important in children's lives.
Yeah, and they are, you know. Yeah, something that I've also noticed is, you know, when I'm not a father. I was about to say, when you're a father, mm-hmm. Are you a father?
Nah, not yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's not a father. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. But something that I also read it off the internet, you know. They're like, when you're a father, you know, obviously girls play with dolls, you know. And one of the statement was, playing with dolls is not manly, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, as a father, if you go into the book of Corinthians chapter 13 verse 7, First Corinthians chapter 13 verse 7, it says, it basically elaborates and speaks on, you know, being fatherhood, if I can put it that way, fatherhood. And it says, okay, being a safe or a welcoming father doesn't sound all, you know, heroic and all those stuff. And playing dolls with your daughter doesn't seem very manly. But the scriptures, you know, it tells us that, about, it tells us the secret of love. And this is what it says, it's, okay, based on fatherhood, is explicitly tied to sacrifice. It bears all things and endures all things. So that's what the scripture says. It bears all things and endures all things. Now, looking right there, the secret is love. And what does love do?
It bears love all things.
Bears all things. Mm. Love is patient.
Love is kind.
Yeah. Mm. Love is kind. You know, it sacrifices. And as much as you love your daughter, you'll be willing to play with dolls with her. You know, play with dolls. And I mean, like, we got one of our presenters, amazing presenter. Not gonna reveal any names. But yeah, obviously she's gonna hear, you know. When she hears this, she's gonna know it's her, you know. She's gonna be smiling there and laughing. But you know, one of our presenters, you know, say something that was like, I was like, wow, you know. For a father to do that, you hardly find fathers who do that, you know. You will find less fathers. Sometimes you don't even find them. You know, she's like, her father actually washes her, you know, like washes her shoes. That's one of the things that she said. Her father also ties her shoelaces, and I was shocked. And you know, her father also does her hair.
Mm.
check that out, man. Check that out. Like, where do you get fathers that do that?
Who spend their time with their daughters.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, like, last time, her father actually took her to go and buy a dress. Like, to go and buy a dress. When you could be sitting there watching sports, you know.
Yeah.
That's the excuse that they give. I'm watching sports. Yeah, I'll just give you money and then you can go buy a dress and then let me know how it goes, you know, stuff. But no, he's like, yo, you know what? I'm going with you.
Yeah.
I'm going with you. I don't care what you say. I'm going with you. And, you know, those are the type of fathers that we need.
Yeah.
We need fathers who actually know how to be a father.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome stuff right there, everybody. And the other thing that actually affects children, that it gets to an extent whereby children actually experience behavioral disorders.
Yeah.
So the children coming from fatherless homes actually 20 times are actually 20 times more likely to have behavioral disorders. So their behavior becomes this nasty behavior. Why? Because they never got a chance to be taught by a father how to behave as a man, how to display yourself as a lady, how to actually interact with a guy as a lady, how to interact with a girl as a guy. You get what I'm saying? So you grew up with that anger. You grew up with that anger of like, you know what? I never had a father. So who can tell me? Who can tell me? So behavioral disorders actually contribute to that, to the fact that children are living, are coming from fatherless homes.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, you know, like, it's amazing. Just to add on what you say, you know, like, if you look at the statistics on families, you know, like happy families, like families where it's a healthy type of family where there's a mother that's living up to her standards and there's a father that's living up to his standard. You know, in families that are healthy like that, you know, the man, which is the father, demonstrates a common characteristics, you know, which is sacrifice, you know, where the man spends time with the kids, even when they want to do something else like watching football, you know. They actually spend time with their kids instead, and they deal with their kids patiently, you know, when even when the kids break the, you know, the plates, or, you know, break, you are about to drink your amazing drink, you know, your soft drink that you love, your favorite, and out of nowhere your kid just comes there, boom.
Yes.
And then it falls down.
You gotta
and then you're like, that's the last glass, you know. In your head, you're like, yo, I caught it. But yeah, your body didn't do anything. And then guess what? You see it hit the floor. Bam! Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there. You have all the reasons to actually burst. Mm. But because you have a father who knows fatherhood, you know, who knows the secret of fatherhood.
Yeah.
Which 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. Stated, you know, patience. Now you actually you're able to be in that situation and deal with your kids patiently. Yeah. Why? Because love is patient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff, everybody, right there. We've spoken, you get what I'm saying? So without going furthermore, but we would like to actually give you something, you know, something that will actually give you some oomph. That will give you some energy. That will give you some mfuto in there. That will mfutorize you. You get what I'm saying? So we've been speaking right here. We're speaking about fatherhood. And if you're still tuned in, stay tuned in. Stay tuned in and listen.
Hello,
to what
everyone,
we have
and welcome
to
Full Spectrum Survival World News Update for Thursday, November 3rd,
right,
bringing you the news that you
stay
need to know. Let's begin.
Hardline
Islamists
enjoy the music.
Are continuing a call for the government to crucify a Christian government leader for blasphemy against Islam after he criticized his political opponents for referencing a verse in the Quran that warns against people allying themselves with Christians and Jews. As Americans continue to protest a multi-state oil pipeline that is susceptible to sabotage and capable of causing unthinkable ecological damage in the event of a disaster, researchers with the Louisiana State University are showcasing the ongoing effects of the largest ecological disaster in the nation's history, with the catastrophe at the Deepwater Horizon oil station that caused a near unending wave of death and destruction throughout the coastline of the Gulf that continues to this day. Researchers with the Flanders Institute for Biotechnology are working to determine how to master control over a plant's ability to regenerate itself, as they seek a method of agriculture in which crops and edible plants might be cultivated more efficiently and made more resistant to parasitic plants without genetic modification. The study, which is published in the journal Nature Plants, describes the method. However, opponents to mankind's meddling in the ways of nature warn that even as the dangers with grafting one species onto another are lower for a global cataclysm than with genetic modification, a danger still exists, as scientists against traditional and novel methods of plant alteration warn that humans as an entire species have reached a time in this world where the fruits of our misdoings may begin to be seen as plant disease, drought, and pestilence become everyday issues in the life of the world as we know it. As modern medicine moves away from the chemical pharmaceuticals that mankind has grown dependent upon over the last century, universities and science professionals have begun moving their research away from the chemical compounds that are capable of both creating massive harm and hindering some disease, and moving toward research into natural medicines and remedies that have been in practice for literally thousands of years. With that, we see a study performed by a team of scientists with the University of Granada, the Research and Development Functional Food Center, and the Richardson Center for Functional Foods, where they have shown once again that rapeseed oil enriched with omega-3, more commonly known as canola oil, a product that is growable at home as well as purchasable in the store, has the unique ability to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease in those that consume it. And to wrap things up, disease researchers with the Massachusetts Institute of Technology are working to develop methods that destroy treatment-resistant bacteria, as scientists warn that the rise of untreatable disease is among us. Corruption and fighting between the United Nations and the countries that the UN controls are causing a growing unease within the international community. Protesters are calling for the president of South Africa to be removed from power if he refuses to step down. Violence in Haiti amid a protest that international aid is being held back shows the dangers associated with the recovery phase of a disaster, and renewed earthquakes caused by fracking in Oklahoma, including a strong 4.5 in Pawnee, completes today's Quake Watch. And that wraps up this episode of the World News Update. Join us tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, where we'll be discussing conspiracies, government corruption, and how to help those that are still asleep. And check back tomorrow for more news that the aware need the most. This week's World News Update is brought to us by Salt Spring Naturals, a world-renowned outlet for proven botanical medicine and home of the Marseille's Remedy. Find the Marseille's Remedy and other natural wellness products by visiting saltspringnaturals.com today. And CampingSurvival.com. From sterilizing water to preparing for a collapse, CampingSurvival.com has all the products that you'll need to be ready for a disaster. Visit CampingSurvival.com and start building your bug-out bag today.
Days like this, man, I feel like I ain't got no hope, except you.
Cannon,
yeah, you're my inspiration.
I'm gon' turn. My back is to the world. See these bridges I done burn. For every truth I learn, I grow a little weary. I see how far away from you everybody is clearly. And all the folks who near me, the ones that I love dearly, don't know the truth about you, so I'm hoping that they hear me. Hear ye, hear ye, all of the above. What can warm a blackened heart and fill it full of love? It feels like just the other day when everything was hopeless. Up Hell's Creek without a paddle and a boat. I wasn't really living, I was living for the moment. And now I only live to see clear, so help me focus. It's lies all around me, my partner's called Cloudy. He just won't escape the cesspool that got him drowning. Your spirit surround me, can't nobody see it though. Every once in a while somebody tell me they can see a glow. I quit getting high,
high, and not because I'm better than, but your spirit working in me, making me a better man. Know you got a better plan than all this ghetto living, this drug dealing, pimping, exploiting all of these women. My family's still in prison, I thought that I escaped it. For years I was chained to sin, following Satan. The only way to make it for me was take a plea. I gave my life to the king who died on a tree. And he ain't make me richer, he ain't make me taller, he ain't give new legs to my cousin little daughter. He gave me something greater than anything I'd have seen. He gave himself to me, he living me, boy, I'm clean. My guilt all gone, shame all gone. I still feel pain, yeah, the rain gon' come. But one day he gon' get all of these folks he called his own and take us on that long ride home. I'm gone.
Yeah, everybody, welcome back right here on the number one station, the David Nasher, on the Active FM. Active FM. Active FM. That's where you get active people like us, you get what I'm saying?
Yo,
right here on Active FM.
Even my coffee is active. Eh? Almost ran away from me, man.
What?
Hi.
It ran away already.
Yay! It's I finished. Know, and it's gone. Eh?
It ran away.
I tried it the first time, and then I showed it that I'm more active.
Yeah.
I must know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so everybody, welcome back. Thank you for staying tuned in right here on the number one station, the Dave and Active FM on the Dave and Nash Show. Don't forget to catch us on Facebook. Don't forget to download some more shows on www.activefm.co.za and get some hot music, because Christ music is blazing music. Yo, Christ
blazing,
music
blazing,
is
blazing,
hot music. Christ music is firing up music. Christ music is, yeah, it's on another level. I cannot describe it. I cannot start to describe how Christ music is like. You get what I'm saying? So everybody right here, we're back again with the topic that we've been discussing. Fatherhood. What kind of a father are you? Because God has called us to be fathers of nations. So what kind of father are you? What inspires you? What motivates you to become that actual father that is needed? That actual father that was going to take responsibility? That father that's going to be a father to the nation? That father that's going to inspire other fathers to be better fathers? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what kind of father are you going to be? What kind of father are you at the moment?
Yep.
Because children that come from fatherless homes actually are 14 times more likely to commit rape.
Yeah.
Because they are not being taught on how to become a better man, on how to become a better father, on how to become a father with characteristics of a real man. You get what I'm saying? Because there are fathers who don't have characteristics of a real man. That's why they do not want to take responsibility for their actions. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it is also 9 times more likely to drop out. They are also 9 times likely to drop out of high school due to the fact that there is nobody encouraging them to actually become those man who's gonna work hard to actually sustain their future, to actually become better men in the future, because of the absenteeism of fathers are not taking responsibilities. They're not taking their responsibility. They are not cultivating what they have sown. They are not cultivating what they have planted, because you cannot plant a garden and not cultivate it. It will be destroyed. That's why you need to become a father that will cultivate his garden.
Yeah, which is true. I mean, like, look at it. You got to know that you have power, you know.
Yeah.
That father power. And, you know, that father power, like, is needed in the household.
Yeah.
You know, where the mother can't say no. But when you say no, no is no.
Yeah.
And as a result, you actually set the example. You're setting. In this household, when I say no about this, it's no. I mean, like, look at a household where they God-fearing, you know. A household that's God-fearing. The father should set the atmosphere saying that, in my house, we'll serve the Lord only.
Yeah.
should set the atmosphere. And once he says that, it's that.
Yeah.
You follow. Because, you know, he's the father in that house. I mean, like, we were supposed to be leading, you know, and we're still supposed to be leading.
Yeah.
But as a result of our own choices that we think we're smarter than, you know, the people that are telling us or what we're supposed to be following, which is the word. I honestly believe and firmly believe that we should be basing our life on the word of God.
Yeah.
I mean, if we look at the way Jesus conducted his life and the way God wants us to be fathers, we wouldn't be having a problem.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be having a situation where there's girls who are going out there to look for love, that fatherly love from a boy. Yeah. Wouldn't be in situations where you get boys who got anger. Why? Because they were never taught to be a father. You wouldn't be in a situation where guys are abusing women. Why?
Yeah.
Because they're releasing their anger on the woman. Why?
Yeah.
Because they never had a father.
True.
Wouldn't be in those such situations. And we all in those, we in those situations. Why? Because of lack of fatherhood.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't also be in situations where you have a father who doesn't know how to become a father.
Mm.
Who doesn't know how to be a father. We wouldn't be in those situations. And as a result, we need to like get planted into the word.
Yeah, and you know, actually, many men have actually, many fathers or many young people who have become fathers right now, from a background of not having a father who's responsible for their actions, who's telling them how to be a good father, how to be a successful father, how to be a loving father, who haven't been taught about that, find it a right to actually beat up a woman.
Yeah.
Which is not something that a man should be doing.
No.
A man should be a protector.
Yes.
A man should be protecting his family.
Mm.
So now if you are releasing your anger on your wife, how do you expect her to react?
Yeah, yo.
If you are releasing all that anger and frustration on your wife, how do you expect your children to react? They're going to follow on your footsteps.
Mm.
Because some other fathers tend to say that, you see, my children are not me. So if I act this way, my children are not going to act this way.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know? Because you are of the same bloodline. They will do as you do.
Mm.
They will follow on your footsteps. Because now you are setting the example. That's why now we need Jesus.
Yeah.
Fathers need to have that kind of love that they receive from Jesus. The kind of love that Jesus gave to his people.
Mm-hmm.
The love that God demonstrated by giving his only begotten son. That's the kind of love that fathers in this world today need to have. They need to understand that a father is caring.
Mm-hmm.
A father gives. Because love gives.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the word of God say? Love gives and God is love.
Yeah.
So true. God gives. Love gives. If God is love, then therefore he will give. That's why he gave his only begotten son. So what kind of a father are you? Are you that kind of a father who gives to his children? Are you that kind of a father who gives no matter what? Are you that kind of a father who gives in whatever circumstance? Because children who are from homeless fathers, from fatherless homes, children who are from fatherless homes are 10 times likely to abuse drugs.
Yeah.
To be involved in substance abuse. Why? Because they are not taught morals and values. They believe that it's a fun thing to actually abuse alcohol and to abuse drugs and all that stuff, to actually sniff that thing, sniff a pipe. It'll be fine with me. Then it becomes a constant thing. They are 5 times more likely to commit suicide. They are 9 times more likely to end up in a state-operated situation.
Mm.
They are like 9 times to end up in rehab. To end up in situations whereby they have to compromise. They are 2 times more likely to have children during their teenage years.
Mm.
Which is one of the things that we are looking at. We are facing these days in our high schools. In the schools. You have a grade 10 already is pregnant. A grade 10 that already has two children. And now, that guy who's in the same school, they have no job. They can't take care of that child. So now that causes the guy and maybe sometimes the girl as well to actually drop out of school and actually go and look for a job to take care of that child. Which becomes more of a burden to the parents as well, because now the parents have to provide for their child and their grandchild, which the teenager has already conceived.
Yeah,
because the child now, she's still at school. You have to take care of another child. You are a child, you're taking care of a child. That's because of lack of fathers.
Yeah.
Fathers who don't take up responsibility. Fathers who don't man up.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So,
yeah, which is true, which is true. And yeah, like I said, with the father, you got that power. You know, we need that. The household needs that father power.
Yeah.
You know, because with that father power, something else that's added is a father's instruction. Because you have the power in that household and you also have the responsibility to give them instructions. I mean, if I were to be a father, I would sit down with my child, whether it's my daughter, if it's my son, I'll sit down with my son and teach him how to be a father.
Yeah.
I will sit down with him and teach him how to actually, what means to be a man. I will teach him how to act matured, how to be an adult. I'll also teach him how to conduct himself and follow God, you know, as a father. And we need fathers who do that. And if it's a daughter, you know, I will teach her everything that she needs to know about guys out there.
Yeah.
How to avoid the wrong type of guy. And, you know, they actually do need it. Some of them don't even know. They have no knowledge based on what guys do, you know, how they think and all those stuff. I know sometimes, I once watched a movie back in those days, yeah, and
it sound like you are a grown man.
Come on, man, I'm a grown
speaking out of wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah, so words of wisdom. I once watched a movie back in those days, and that movie, man, was like interesting. Okay, so like, you know, in that movie, I even forgot the title. That's how, yeah, it's been a while since I watched it. I bet you it's been more than 5 or 4 years when I watched it, and I can still remember. You know, it was a movie, and in that movie there was a particular scene where it was a love movie. I can remember, romantic, you know, those romantic movies. So this girl loved the guy, but the father had a problem with that guy, you know, and as a result she didn't want to listen to the father. But then basically in that particular scene, it was a scene where the father was educating the daughter, and the education that he was giving to the daughter was based on how men would react towards her and how that guy would react towards her and what that guy's intentions are, and which was to sleep with her, you know, that was his intentions. Now if you look at that scene, it was quite an embarrassing scene because he had to teach the daughter how the guy should put a condom on.
Yay.
You know, he had to go buy a cucumber and come with a condom and teach her how the guy should actually put it on. But right there, if you look at that scene, we need fathers who actually do that. Mm. You educate your daughter.
Yeah.
Not that you're promoting that she should go out there and do it, but you're actually giving her knowledge and wisdom of this is what might happen and this is how to avoid this.
Yeah.
This is the possibilities of this outcome happening and coming out, and this is how to avoid that outcome.
Yeah.
And right there, that scene, you know, the father, it was embarrassing, man. I can imagine me, in, you know, like 2-3 years time from now, sitting with the daughter there, and then you like teaching her what you need to teach your son.
Yeah.
You know, like you're showing her this is what needs to happen. This is how he's supposed to put it. Like, that's gonna be like embarrassing, but yeah. We need. Yeah, it's worth it because you taught her, and there's also morals, you know.
Yeah.
You're teaching her how to actually, how to respect herself as well.
Yeah.
You're teaching her that.
Yeah.
And we need fathers who do that.
That's amazing. And going on, there's some more, like the stats actually continues, and the disaster is actually preserved, because now we have 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. So 85% of children that are experiencing behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes.
Yeah.
85%, think about it, 85%, and 90% of all homeless and running away children are from fatherless homes. So mainly the street kids that you see on the streets. The other effect of that is because there was no father in that family.
Yeah.
Some of them, because of the fact that there was no father, they chose to run away. They chose to run away to find their own way to life, because they didn't see any path. They didn't see any hope. They didn't receive any love.
Yeah.
So also, 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. Now you see how being a father, how important it is to be a good father. A father that is morals. A father that is ethics. A father that is love. A father that is there for their children. Because it doesn't only affect you and the mother of the child as the father right now, pointing out to the fathers. It doesn't only affect you and the mother, but it affects more the child, because it destroys, first of all, their future.
Mm-hmm.
It leads them to dropping out of school. It leads them to going to live on the street, running away from home. It leads them to behavioral disorders. It leads to them to substance abuse. It leads them to committing suicide. It leads them to committing rape. They start raping out there. Why? Because they were never taught of how to become a better father. They were never taught to become a better mother. Why? Because there is no example of fathers. There's no fathers who are actually taking charge and becoming protectors and heroes of their families.
Yeah.
There are no fathers that are becoming protective of their children. And there's also 71% of teenage pregnancies that are 71% of teenage pregnancies are to children of single parents. So that cycle continues. So actually, that is what we were talking about. That, you know, when you find teenagers who are pregnant, it's because there's a lack of father.
Yeah.
There's a lack of fathers at home. You know that there's no father at home when a girl becomes pregnant. Because the father actually enforces the rules to actually say, you know what, you're not gonna stay in my house if you become pregnant.
Yeah.
But they teach that with love. They teach that actually to make sure that the child doesn't get involved in any sexual intercourse.
Yeah.
So therefore, there's also 75% of all adolescents patients in chemical abuse centers which come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. So you see how much fathers are contributing to this, to these factors. 80% of rapists come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state facilities come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth grew up in fatherless homes.
Yeah.
Fatherhood. What kind of fathers are there in this nation? South Africa is looking for good fathers. Not only South Africa, but all around the world. Because that's the same situation that we are facing.
Yeah.
The lack of fathers. The lack of commitment in marriages. So, you, as you are listening right now, and you are in a good condition, or in a good relationship with your wife as a father, you gotta make sure that you maintain that relationship. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, it won't affect the two of you. It won't affect the two of you, but it will affect more the children.
Yeah.
The seed that you have sown.
Yeah.
It won't affect the one who have sown, but it will affect the seed that is growing without being cultivated.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, man, like, oh, that's amazing stuff. It's true. I actually learned a lot. I learned new stuff, learned statistics, you know. There's a lot of things that, you know, even when while we're speaking to you guys, we still learn. Yeah. We still learn. It's not like we there and then we like not learning. No, we're learning every single day,
yeah.
Every minute, every sec, every hour. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every single day.
Yeah.
365. Yeah, I was thinking about that. But yeah, you know, just something that I'd love to add on, you know, based on the father's instruction, you know. We need to be there as fathers to instruct the kids, you know, when the mother, you know, when the mother can't do it.
Yeah.
We need to be there to say no to the kids. And not only in terms of giving them instructions of saying no and all the stuff, but to also help the kids, you know, catch the wind. And what I mean by catch the wind, we need to be there to help them catch the wind, teach them how to use it, and help them when they're ready to go out there and push towards the sunrise.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, we need to be helping them even in their career. Mm-hmm. There's choices. We've lived life longer than them as parents. Mm-hmm. And we know which choices that to make that will lead you to a successful career. And we need to help them find their passion and teach them how to use their passion. Mm-hmm. And when they're ready, teach them how to actually go out there and get what they can, what their potential can reach and touch the sky and go to space. I mean, like, look at the people that have went to space, you know. We got the man who walked on the moon for the first time. I mean, that was like his passion right there. And yo, man, he achieved it.
Mm.
And we got billionaires, we got millionaires. I bet you the first millionaire was like, I want to get a millionaire, you know. I want to be the first millionaire. And guess what? I bet you there were people that were encouraging him.
Yeah.
And what did he do? He became a millionaire.
Yeah.
So nothing is impossible. What just needs to be there is father.
Yeah.
No, we need to be, not become a father, but be the father.
Yeah.
Don't become the father. Becoming a father is you getting that title.
Yeah.
Being the father is you living up to that title.
Mm.
Yeah. Living up to that title.
Yeah.
And the way you conduct yourself, people, they just look at you and they're like, that's a father. Not people look at you and they say, this guy is acting like a father. It's one thing to be called a father. It's another thing to be called an acting father.
Mm.
One, you acting. The other one, you are the father.
Yeah.
So we gotta be those fathers, you know?
Yeah. It's one thing to be a principal and the acting principal.
Yeah.
So those two things are different. They're different. So what kind of father are you? Are you an acting father or are you an actual father that takes responsibility?
Yeah.
Because the acting father is one of a kind that goes out for weeks and months and all those, all that particular time or duration of time to actually do what? To go out there and just be that kind of person who comes home and just buys food and buys this and just go back. But food is not what the kids really want.
Yeah.
It's not something that they really need. They need fatherhood. They need that love.
Yeah.
They need that love of a father. Fathers contribute a lot. It's what we need to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right now, everybody, we have come to the end of the show. But you know, before we actually close the doors, before we roll down the shutter, we actually give you something, to leave you with something that's going to get you energized, get you pumped up, get you motivated, get you to think about being a father. Think about what kind of a father are you, to ask yourself some questions. So everybody, enjoy the music.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Full Spectrum Survival's World News Update for Thursday, November 3rd, bringing you the news that you need to know. Let's begin. Hardline Islamists in Jakarta are continuing to call for the government to crucify a Christian government leader for blasphemy against Islam after he criticized his political opponents for referencing a verse in the Quran that warns against people allying themselves with Christians and Jews. As Americans continue to protest a multi-state oil pipeline that is susceptible to sabotage and capable of causing unthinkable ecological damage in the event of a disaster, Researchers with the Louisiana State University are showcasing the ongoing effects of the largest ecological disaster in the nation's history, with the catastrophe at the Deepwater Horizon oil station that caused a near unending wave of death and destruction throughout the coastline of the Gulf that continues to this day. Researchers with the Flanders Institute for Biotechnology are working to determine how to master control over a plant's ability to regenerate itself, as they seek a method of agriculture in which crops and edible plants might be cultivated more efficiently and made more resistant to parasitic plants without genetic modification. The study, which is published in the journal Nature Plants, describes the method. However, opponents to mankind's meddling in the ways of nature warn that even as the dangers with grafting one species onto another are lower for a global cataclysm than with genetic modification, a danger still exists, as scientists against traditional and novel methods of plant alteration warn that humans as an entire species have reached a time in this world where the fruits of our misdoings may begin to be seen as plant disease, drought, and pestilence become everyday issues in the life of the world as we know it. As modern medicine moves away from the chemical pharmaceuticals that mankind has grown dependent upon over the last century, universities and science professionals have begun moving their research away from the chemical compounds that are capable of both creating massive harm and hindering some disease, and moving toward research into natural medicines and remedies that have been in practice for literally thousands of years. With that, we see a study performed by a team of scientists with the University of Granada, the Research and Development Functional Food Center, and the Richardson Center for Functional Foods, where they have shown once again that rapeseed oil enriched with omega-3, more commonly known as canola oil, a product that is growable at home as well as purchasable in the store, has the unique ability to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease in those that consume it. And to wrap things up, disease researchers with the Massachusetts Institute of Technology are working to develop methods that destroy treatment-resistant bacteria, as scientists warn that the rise of untreatable disease is among us. Corruption and fighting between the United Nations and the countries that the UN controls are causing a growing unease within the international community. Protesters are calling for the president of South Africa to be removed from power if he refuses to step down. Violence in Haiti amid a protest that international aid is being held back shows the dangers associated with the recovery phase of a disaster, and renewed earthquakes caused by fracking in Oklahoma, including a strong 4.5 in Pawnee, completes today's Quake Watch. And that wraps up this episode of the World News Update. Join us tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, where we'll be discussing conspiracies, government corruption, and how to help those that are still asleep. And check back tomorrow for more news that the aware need the most. This week's World News Update is brought to us by Salt Spring Naturals, a world-renowned outlet for proven botanical medicine and home of the Marseilles Remedy. Find the Marseilles Remedy and other natural wellness products by visiting saltspringnaturals.com today. And CampingSurvival.com. From sterilizing water to preparing for a collapse, CampingSurvival.com has all the products that you'll need to be ready for a disaster. Visit CampingSurvival.com and start building your bug-out bag today.
Yeah, everybody, welcome back right here on the number one station. For those people who just tuned in right now, unfortunately, we're about to close up this place.
Yeah.
Because you know what? We've been speaking and dishing at the same time.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
you need to understand right now is that we got to that point whereby we gotta close the shutters, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know. We gotta close those doors, you get what I'm saying? Because they've been open for a very long time. So now we gotta take that chance and be like, you know what? It's time to close the doors because now we've spoken a lot.
We've spoken. I know you people got some wisdom, you got some knowledge. You know, like, wow, something that you can do. And you know, that's something we should do all the time in life and everything.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have knowledge, it's another thing to have wisdom.
Yeah,
you know, because knowledge is there, you know, it always comes as information, but wisdom, it it's also based on experience and things that you have done in life.
Yeah.
That's wisdom. Now, you know, something that I would love to use, you know, our pastor uses it as an example. It's like when you're inside that car, let's take the V8 engine. You're in that V8 engine and you like revving. How do you think the revving sound comes out, Mr. Dave? Hey! Ah, I hear that, man. Yo, I can see that car. Ish, I'm inside there. Yeah, you know. Yeah, when you have that car, you know, and it sounds like how Mr. Dave, you know, was doing here, illustrating props, man. Yeah. He's on the props team.
Yeah.
You know, even your mouth is a prop.
Yeah.
Yeah. But right there, you know, when you're in that car and you're revving that engine, it's useless if you don't put it into gear and drive the car.
Yeah.
Because all you're doing is making noise.
Yeah.
Making noise. But when you put it in gear, that's when you experience the power.
Yeah.
Beyond what you're doing, you know, beyond the noise that you're listening to, you actually experience it. And you go in, you go in that seat, you know, it pushes you back into that seat. Yeah. Same with the knowledge, you know. When you got knowledge, yeah, you like identified all the parts where you're going wrong as a father.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that you don't have an opportunity to change that. This is actually an opportunity to change that. And you can actually be a better father.
Yeah.
If you're thinking of, in fact, we're going to do it right now, you know. If you're thinking that there's a problem, you know, maybe you ran away. In fact, right now, pick up the phone the mother, phone the child, and tell them you're coming back home.
Yeah.
You know? Tell them you're going back home. Gotta be there for that child. And if you haven't been there for that child, you haven't expressed love. Yeah, you know, if they're in the room right there, tell them you love them.
Yeah.
Like right now. If they're in that car, tell them you love them. Yeah. Like, in fact, do it right now. Yep. And that's a task. You know, everything starts now and you do it forever.
Yeah.
The future starts now.
Yeah, so everybody, this is where we end. This is where we conclude everything. It was a good time that we had with you. A good 2 hours that we had with you. Sharing some stories. Sharing what we had to share right here. With your boy, DJ Dash and DJ Nave, right there on the number one station, the Active FM. On the Dave and Nash Show every Friday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. in the morning. We deliver the best, the illest tracks. You get what I'm saying? We give the best. Where Christ music is hot music. Don't forget to go on www.activefm.co.za and catch some more shows right there. There are so many shows. The list is endless. And also go on Facebook. ActiveFM777 on Twitter at ActiveFM777. Go and tweet and over, do all those kind of things. You get what I'm saying? Go on iTunes as well and rate us right there, and also download the shows right there on iTunes. Everything.
Yeah,
we've delivered. Everything. We've done our part. Now
everything.
Everybody, join us on next week, same time, same place. Right here on the Dave and Nash Show on Active FM, where Christ music is hot music. Peace out, everybody.
Bah, 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 bah. Yeah.
Okay, we have breaking news now. Iran apparently is releasing 4 American citizens who've been held in that country for over a year. That group includes Jason Rezaian. He's a reporter at the Washington Post. All 4 are dual passport holders, Iranian Americans. All 4 are visiting the country, and all 4 have been held on charges of espionage, none of which has been proved. And as of this morning, they are apparently on their way out of prison.
Of course, this includes Abedini, of course, the pastor who's been held as
well.
We just
got that confirmed just moments ago.
Exactly. And, you know, this is being called a prisoner swap. And there are conflicting reports this morning as to how many American-held prisoners right now are being released by an American detention centers to the Iranian government. Early reports from the Iranian news media said 6 individuals were being released. Now, according to Reuters this morning, it could be as many as 7 that are being released in exchange for 4.
And again, we do not know whether that's true, and we do not know the identities of these 6 or 7 prisoners held by the United States, which the Iranian news agency are being repatriated to Iran. We don't know if any of that's accurate. If it is, you can expect that there will be some controversy around that, given that the 4 Americans being held in Iran were clearly innocent of any crime and were being held, in effect, as hostages by the government of Iran because of the nuclear deal as bargaining chips.
And were they being held as bargaining chips as these economic sanctions are set to be lifted, giving them billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars, in unfrozen assets?
Yeah, and it's interesting, of course, the timing of this, because Secretary of State John Kerry landing there, flying there from Vienna this morning and arriving there at the airport where leaders from six countries are meeting to put the final touches on this nuclear deal, where the IAEA had to confirm that they had mothballed their uranium enrichment program, set to get billions of dollars in frozen assets, is the Iranian government. Of course, we see this on the campaign trail during the 2016 campaign, many of the Republican candidates saying what an absolute terrible deal this has been. Donald
Right.
Trump critical of this, saying they got everything they wanted.
Well, we should say the one fact we think we can confirm is that Pastor Abedini, who has been held in Iran since 2012, has been released. That's the word, there he is right there, from his law firm. This is of special interest to us at Fox and Friends. We've covered the story since the very beginning, had
Right.
his wife on this program many times. There was an enormous push on Congress and the White House to act on his behalf. It's taken an awful long time, but this morning it looks like this Christian pastor, you're seeing him right there, Pastor Abedini, has been released from custody in Iran.
Here we are. We've been trying to contact his family as well, and haven't been able to get through, as you could imagine, a busy morning, I'm sure, in that family. So once we have some familial confirmation on that, we will bring that to you as well.
All right, and keep in mind that all this information is coming from the Iranian news agency, and every report that we're getting in seems to be going back to that.
We do have Pastor Abedini's lawyer, though, our friend Jordan Sekulow, who's joined this program many times to talk about his captivity. I think we have him. Jordan, are you there?
I'm here, Tucker. Thanks for having me.
Can you confirm that the pastor has been released from custody in Iran?
We can confirm Pastor Saeed Abedini is among the Americans who has been released from Iran today. So it's a great day for his family. It's
sure
been a long
is.
Process, but he has been released.
Do you know what the conditions have been?
We don't have the specifics yet. It'll probably be some time before he's back in the United States, goes through the normal health check process to a friendly country closer to Iran. And as we have more details, we'll, of course, share that. His family's very excited, and this is it's a day they've been waiting for over 3 years.
Did you know this was coming?
There were some in the last 24, 48 hours, as we got closer to the implementation of this nuclear deal, which we've been told they weren't tied to the entire process. There was more conversation. There was some movement 24 hours ago. Saeed was taken out of prison to a central intelligence office in Iran, and the others were as well. Similar things were happening, so there was definitely something moving on the ground.
Yeah.
And then we got the confirmation.
Jordan, I'm sure you've seen the reports from the Iranian news agency that this was the result of a prisoner swap, where six or seven Iranian prisoners held in the United States were traded for the four we're talking about now. Do you know if that's true?
The exact details of that I don't know yet. All I can confirm right now is that we know that Pastor Saeed, I know Jason Rezaian has been already confirmed, and that we can confirm that Pastor Saeed Abedini has been released. But I don't have all the details yet.
And have you been talking with his attorneys?
With the other attorneys for the other? No, we've been working primarily with our client in this case, Naghmeh Abedini, Pastor Saeed's wife, the family, as they kind of prepare for this, obviously a big change. It's been over 3 years.
Who called you? How did you find out?
We found out through the State Department, through the connections there, the government. They of course contacted Naghmeh, and then once everything started moving, it was clear and everything was confirmed.
How's the pastor's health?
That is one of the first things that will be checked. Actually, we know that. I don't have the specifics on it, but we know that he'll get comprehensive health review now. So that's good news as well. The fact that he survived this process this long, has gotten out, will get hospital treatment. We know his health is not the way it was. It's been deteriorating since he's been in prison. It's been a rough time, but now he'll be in. He'll receive real care, and so that should be okay.
Well, and you think not just physically what he's been going through, but emotionally, mentally, how trying this has been for both him and his family. So many tears shed. Do you have a timeline on when they will be reunited?
Not yet. It will take some time. When any kind of prisoners in this situation are released, and we don't have the exact specifics, but they usually do travel through a different friendly country, take some time there. with government, with U.S. officials, with the health care that they need and medical attention they need. And then ultimately that process will start, whether that happens or a reunited happens overseas or happens here in the United States. Those details have not been worked out
yet. We're getting confirmation now from the Washington Post. The other released prisoners include Amir Hekmat, who's a former U.S. Marine,
yep.
And of course, Saeed Abedini, whom we're talking about right now, and Jason Rezaian. They have been held since 2014. And according to Iran's Fars News Agency, the four were released in exchange for six Iranian Americans, although Reuters saying seven. Have you spoken to his wife?
We have. And obviously, the family is excited about this. The children, especially, with not having a father for over 3 years, and so it's a bit, as you can imagine, it's shocking to believe that this day has finally
yes.
come and that he's made it through. But yes, and they'll issue statements later today. It's they were just wanted to confirm it was true, and as soon as we did, I wanted to be able to join y'all and let everybody know. I know a lot of people have been praying for this and raised their voices for this, and it's a day where we know Saeed's been released, and we'll have the details as the day goes on.
Our viewers certainly have. Thanks a lot, Jordan, for joining us. And very quickly, just remind us, what was the pretext for holding the pastor all these years?
His Christian faith. And I think what the uniting factor between all of these prisoners today, they're American. And they each had something else. Amir Hekmati, former military service, Jason Rezaian, a reporter. And what tied them together was Americans. In Saeed's case, the part B of his release was his Christian faith that he was a pastor. And so
Jordan,
it was directly tied to that.
Jordan, we thank you for joining us this morning and bringing us this news. Again, continuing coverage here on Fox News Channel throughout the morning. Four Iranian Americans released in a prisoner swap with the Iranian government.
Side. We just need to get back to the glorified God.
Thanks to God, we on the Lord's side. It's time to pray.
They teaching people to murder over 808s. They feed it to them through the media, all in the name of entertainment's sake. To make them all do the same. Turn them in what they promoting. They have a reason to blow out half of their brain. Look at hip-hop, for instance. These major rappers teaching people how to hate authority resistance. So they live it, which leaves them dead in a pool of blood. With the help of radio stations playing music from Young Thug. That ain't love, that's what you call greed. How you gonna speak against it if your CDs promote the same thing? It's like we all turn to oxymorons. Head full of air like a pair of Michael Jordans. They say hands up, don't shoot. Why don't we throw our hands up and surrender into the God of truth? Cause he the way and he the life. But you can't live with him if you don't forget a person that shot Mike. They would rather riot, loot, and rebel than to seek the face of our God, he's Emmanuel. It's a sin issue, not a skin issue. Cause it's written in the Holy Bible in black and white, so it's official. He feels the pain and the hurt that we feel. Cause he went through it too, crucified on that hill. So vengeance is the Lord, not yours. Cause when you put it in your own hands, you will never win a war.
Break your silence. We need the Savior, not a riot. So I will pray. Yes, I will pray. So I will.
Who was on the Lord's side? Who got the words of the living God and won't hide? It's not about the black or white, or the blue or red. It's about the Lamb Christ, risen from the dead. He conquers sin, yeah, cause everybody has a right to repent. There's none righteous, none innocent. Jesus Christ, the one who was sent, and he wasn't a Democrat, not a Republican. Prison is profit, so crime is an investment. They own the system, but God owns their soul, rest in place. We gotta pray for salvation and grace. Respect God, respect men, be content in your place. If they ask for 1 mile, give them two instead. Cause God's kingdom is above their heads. We gotta choose the truth of the Lord in this. Do black lives matter to all these abortionists? Please, daddies, grow a wisdom and handle your biz. And teach your kids to work hard for their family and friends. And stop sinning and give love to the
image of God. It doesn't matter who they are or their color facade, cause Jesus is the King of Kings. America could self-destruct, it wouldn't be a thing. He sets the boundaries of nations with his pinky ring. If we don't get back to his dream, he gon' reap or we sold like some slot machines.
Break your silence, we need the Savior.
Refuse to bow to the standard that the world set. Nah. Not gonna be quiet and sit down while you protest. Nah. When I got involved, your protests are pointless. And who are we to judge and say this man be put to death? Life for the lifeless. Tell me what your Bible says that Jesus was not peaceful in his methods when the law was out of line. Tell me why you riot and destroy things and claim inequality like violence is the answer to these lies. Realize your strings are being pulled in all directions. It's not the media, but it's our Savior's adversary. He dwells in confusion, offering disillusion, constantly contort the truth, but Jesus is the true solution. When we stop trying to fit in, then we can see a change. We can show the world that we are unashamed. We can lead them to the cross where they find hope in his name. Make disciples so that they can tell others he reigns. The situation is wrong, check the word I bring. You can read it, Proverbs 6, 16 and 19. If nobody repents, that's sure to meet an angry king. So get it together, my brother, my sister, before he brings you to your knees. Peace, please, stop the violence, stop destroying dreams. Without God, you won't see justice in begin sin. So stop the riot, start to pray, people of Ferguson. God is your hope and he'll be there if you just turn to him, turn to him.
Break your silence, we need the Savior. We wanna see you manifest your